If you have your Bible, if you would please stand and raise it above your head this morning and bear witness of God's word. Amen. You may be seated, please. Turn, if you will, to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Joshua, chapter 3. When you find your place, say, I have it. Joshua, chapter 3. How many of you know who Joshua was? To give you some background on who Joshua was, you're going to find Joshua right at the front of your Bible, because after Moses led the children of Israel out, and you see all that start happening in the book of Exodus, and you go through the book of Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you'll be able to see that right there at the front of your Bible, as he led them out, the next leader to take over after Moses was Joshua. Now, before Joshua took over to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he was delivering them out of slavery. He was bringing them into the promised land. Before he did that, God did a lot of amazing things to make it possible. And we could look at these Old Testament stories, which I think are great for us to get examples from. But when I look at them, I see that from the beginning of the Bible, God, he did some things that were just unexplainable. What we call wonders. And he kept telling them, I will give you signs and wonders. I will give you unexplainable things that will happen. And God's been doing that since the world began. And in the Bible, we see the acknowledgement of those things, even from the creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. From what? From what? We can't explain it. Oh, well, it was two things that came together and made a big bang. All right, let me humor you. Who made the two things? I'm saying God has been doing unexplainable things to create the heavens and the earth, to create all life, fish in the sea and the birds of the air, to create man, to let man reproduce, to be able to let the sun come up, create the stars in the heaven, to sustain life, to have the rain to fall, water the earth, come back up out of the earth, into the heavens, go somewhere else and water the earth. Do you realize that God put the exact amount of water that he needed on the earth from the time the earth began? Think about it. We're running out of water. We can't be running out of water. God created the water on the earth, and it was in ocean, and it was in the firmament. And when it rains, it goes down into the ocean, it goes down into the ground. It comes back out. The sun draws it up. It might go to another continent, but the same amount of water has to stay on this earth. Where can it go? You say, oh, well, it dissolves into the air. Right. Take a chemistry class. Understand the components of oxygen. One of them is hydrogen. Understand God's water, amount of water is just going to be on the earth, right? How does he do that? I can't explain it. But then we see personal stories of God's unexplainable, wondrous things. And I like to use our children's, the little blue children's Bible storybooks that you used to, you know, I can remember as a kid going into the doctor's office and getting that book and just opening it up and just thumbing through the pictures and seeing, okay, here's Daniel in the lion's den, right? Here's Moses crossing the Red Sea. Here's the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Here's when Jesus made the crippled man walk. Here's when Jesus walked on the water. Explain those things. I can't. And so we call these things wonders. So I would ask you today a question as we begin. Because see, God is still doing wonders. I would ask you a question. Besides just looking in your Bible for Bible stories, If you're a child of God today, if you're a Christian, if you're walking with God, are you seeing the wonders of God happen in your life? Now, I want you to answer this to yourself. I want you to take a minute here, and I want you to briefly run down in your mind the recent wonders of God that you've seen happen in your life, those unexplainable things. It's your time. They should come pretty quick to you. So mark them off, 1 through 10. The wonders. You struggle a little bit. Why? Can I tell you why? We're quick to say we see the wonders of God in our life, but do you realize that we take credit for most of the things that happen? Here's a financial gain. Guess what? First thing in our mind, well, we made a pretty good business move. We invested right and we looked down ahead of time. Who gets credit always first, it seems like? We do, right? Doctor just gave me a clean bill of health. You know, I've been on my diet right. I've been exercising. So look, paid off, right? We can explain those things away. So we don't even see them as wonders. A wonder is something you can't explain away. And so we fail to see them. Are you with me so far? In Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, Joshua made this statement. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now you may have a translation that says amazing things. The sermon's not called amazing things. The sermon is called wonders. Amazing things, I don't think does it justice. Listen to his simple message. I'm not giving you a ton of scripture today. I'll give you reference, but I want you to get this one to stick. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Moses had led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. They were in slavery. They were slaves to Egypt. They were mistreated. They were killed. They were given deplorable conditions to live in. They were owned by people. They had no value except as slaves. Does God want any of that? Absolutely not. He doesn't want that, right? So he heard the prayers of these people that were lifted up, and he goes to Moses, and he tells Moses back in the book of Exodus as it begins, I'm going to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. I'm going to use you, pal, to go and help me do it, and here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do signs and wonders through you. And after these signs and wonders are seen, Pharaoh will let my people go. Now, you know the story of the release of the children of Israel, right? All the plagues, there were wonders. You couldn't explain how those things happened. So God did those. And then as soon as they were released and they went out into the wilderness, they encountered a huge obstacle. It was the Red Sea. Do you remember that? And then God opened the Red Sea, right when they were in the middle of the most turmoil or dilemma. God said, let me show you a wonder. Amen. After that, they were going through the wilderness and they didn't have fresh water, and God made the fresh waters of Marah. The time they were hungry, he did another wonder and he made manna fall from heaven. He continued to do wonder after wonder. And here's the thing. If you go to the end of the New Testament, these people are still referring to the wonders that God did in the Old Testament. Why? Because the wonders of God are there for a purpose. Last week, we talked about walking in the blessing. Not just knowing you're blessed, but walking in it. That means in everyday life. You see, walking, it doesn't mean you're physically walking. It means an everyday walking in the blessing. Not just knowing I'm blessed, but actually getting able to take part in it, in fellowship with God, where the blessings come out. And we read Psalms 1, and Psalms 1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. blessed is the man that walks this way, but does not walk the wrong way. You see, when we go back to Joshua chapter 3, there's something important, and I want you to get this, and it might be the most simple sermon that I ever have an opportunity to preach. In this one verse, look at what it says. It says, sanctify yourselves. Do you know what sanctify means? It means set yourself apart to God. It means make sure you're right with God. Sanctify yourselves. Now, I want to add a word. Now, I'm not adding to or taking away, so some of you might say this. I'm going to say what this is trying to mean. It says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Listen to this word that we need to know that the Scripture is implying. It's saying, sanctify yourselves today, for tomorrow you shall see the wonders of God. Here's what I want you to get if you don't get anything else. Here's what I missed for years and years. Do you realize as a child of God, He wants to show His wonders through you? He wants His wonders, just like those Old Testament wonders, the unexplainable things. He wants them to happen in your life. But guess what? Those come the day after you sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. Now get this, it's a jewel, it's a nugget right down in the Scripture. He's giving us the progression of blessings here. He's saying, set yourself apart today. Make sure you're right with me. Sanctification always is inferring cleanliness, right? So he's saying, clean yourself up today. Clean your heart up today. For tomorrow, tomorrow, you will be able to see the wonders of God. Do you know why that we don't see as many wonders as we need to as Christians or give credit for those wonders? Because the wonders that we need to see today, they were contingent upon yesterday. You see, today is yesterday's tomorrow, right? Now, he says, sanctify yourselves today, because you're going to see something that you can't explain tomorrow. Now, the simple math of this, understand, the reason that Christians are walking around defeated and not seeing the blessings of God on their life and not seeing the wonders of God is because they're not putting themselves in a place to see it. They're there. God's told us Scripture after Scripture, I want to do these things. But as the 7-year-old children have told you this morning, God would look like a fool if He were to reward disobedience. And God said, I will not be mocked. And God will never be made to be a fool. So understand this. I think we miss it. We miss it because ritualistically we serve the Lord a lot of times. And we refer back to these stories of these wonders, but God wants to do these wonders in our lives. And I want to be quick to tell you, I am not someone that's ever going to preach to you the message of a prosperity gospel, this new thing today. If you want to hear that, listen, get up a little earlier than you did this morning, turn on your TV, and you will realize if you can sow into this person's ministry, you're going to be blessed. And if you could sow $9.99 specifically into this one, you can be blessed on the silver level. And if you can sow $19.99, you'll be blessed on the gold level. And if you can sow $29.99, well, you'll get the platinum level. That's not the prosperity gospel that God preaches. Do you realize that you could get all the money you want to and it still not make you happy, it still not give you peace? That's not the prosperity he's talking about. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That means you'll make a difference in this world. You'll have the peace that God gives somebody that's walking in his will in this world, and you'll get to see his wonders. So much so that when a preacher stands in front of you and asks you, what are the recent wonders in your life, you'll be able to say, listen, I'm living in it. I've seen this, and I've seen this, and I've seen this. But a lot of times we can't do it because that happens tomorrow. And our tomorrow is affected because today we're not sanctifying ourselves and trying to live according to what he wants us to do. So has it made sense so far? So I want to take it from here. You see, Joshua was giving a message there within a verse that God told him to give to them. That message would explain a lot of things in our lives. All things through the Bible that we make reference to, from those stories to the different things that the children learned, the people that were obedient to God were able to experience the wonders of God in their lives, and those that were not didn't experience these wonders. They just didn't. Now, I want you to think again, because this is supposed to spur you to think. Are you seeing the wonders of God in your life? Now, I'm going to give you this definition. I was blown away whenever I was studying this one word. It grabbed me. And so as I began to look at it, I saw this definition that was really a wordy definition, but I like words, so I thought it was so powerful. Listen to this definition of wonder. The presentation to the sight or mind of something new, unusual, strange, great, extraordinary, or not well understood. Something that arrests the attention by its novelty, grandeur, or inexplicableness. Something that you just can't explain. Do you realize if we can explain it, they're not God things? We don't put them in the God thing category, right? It's only when we can't experience, when we can't explain them, that we recognize, God must be doing something, right? So don't you think that God would want you to see him and experience him? He does. That's why he is willing to do God things, wonders, all around us, all the time. But we're not following the command of Joshua, which requires us to do something today to see it tomorrow. Isn't that amazing? Sanctify yourselves today. Not sanctify someone else. Go take care of yourself. Well, I'm going to tell you, when I sit and speak to you today, I can tell you that I have had years and years of not seeing the wonders of God. They were due to me as a child of his. He wanted to do them. He wanted to change my life and others around me. But I was not walking in the counsel of the godly. I was not refusing to stand the way that sinners stood. I was not doing those kind of things. So because of that, there wasn't wonders. It was just heartache, right? Anybody ever lived in that state? Yeah. I love what Webster says. He says, wonder is a state of astonished admiration. Don't you love it? Wow. How did that happen? I'm going to tell you how important this is. His other definition says, a fact or circumstance causing surprise. You realize wonder is the root word of the word wonderful. We use that a lot, right? It's wonderful, meaning it's full of wonder. It's amazing. It's unexplainable. Do you know that God wants to do the unexplainable things in our lives? He identifies himself by doing only the things that he can do and we can't do. That's how God identifies himself to you, by doing things that are not what someone else can do. So we could actually, as a Christian, live a life and not be experiencing God. He's there for you. The Holy Spirit's living inside of you. It wants to speak to you, but we're doing our own thing and we're not experiencing the presence of God and the things that He wants us to do. Do you know why? Because we're only doing the things that we can take credit for. We're not experiencing anything by faith. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." It's God's power. He wants to blow your mind. He wants to do wonderful things. But I'm going to tell you why He wants to do wonderful things. You see, God shows us His wonders so that we can believe in His power and glorify Him. And then, part two, not so that we can see who God is, so that others can see God through the things He's doing for us. Amen. Nobody's going to come to God through your life if your life is like their life. They're not going to leave theirs to come to yours if nothing is happening in yours. I read in the Gospel of Matthew when Jesus was going and doing miracles. If you would ever read in Matthew chapter 15, there was a time that the great multitudes were following Him and He had just done these miraculous things, and He goes to this place and sits and multitudes gather around Him. And this is Matthew 15, 30 through 31. Listen, as Jesus describes a day in the life of Jesus, "And great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame," couldn't walk, they were crippled, "those that were blind," that were dumb, that means they couldn't speak, "they were maimed," and many others. "And they came and cast them down at Jesus' feet," listen, "and He healed them." Now listen to the end of the story here. "Insomuch that the multitude wondered." Could they explain it? No. Was it that the doctor there happened to be on scene? No, they couldn't explain it. Jesus healed them when they came to His feet. They came to His feet submitting to Him. He healed them insomuch that they all were in wonder when they saw the dumb to speak and the crippled to walk and the lame, or the crippled to be made whole, the lame to walk and the blind to see. Listen to what it says happened in verse 31. They glorified the God of Israel. Do you know why Jesus did these miracles? He did these miracles so He could show the power of God to people. And you know who the people came to when they wanted to see God? They came to Jesus. You said, "Well, Jesus isn't here anymore." No, but you're here and He's living in you. So in order for people to come to God, they need to come to you. You say, "Well, I'm in no way in that position." No, it's not going to be about you, friend. It's going to be about what He wants to do in your life so they can see that you're following Him and He's doing the wonders in your life. They're not coming to you. They're coming to Him. I saw it happen to Moses as he watched God do all these miraculous things in Exodus. You see in Deuteronomy, as he was bearing witness in verse 20, or chapter 26, verse 8, and he said, "And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and wonders." And in Psalms, we see the psalmist talk about God doing the great wonders. You see, God knows that people need something that they can't figure out in order to help them believe something. Listen to what I'm saying. God knows how He made us. We need something we can't figure out in order to help us know that it's Him doing it. And I don't want you to take my word for it. Let me give you a quotation of Jesus, John 4:48. Listen, "Then said Jesus." Well, that gives it credibility, right? "Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe." I could go and talk to you all the time and you would hear my words and the Holy Spirit could open your mind and lead you. But let me tell you something. Here's the way we're made. We're made to be able to see something and respond to it. If you see the wonders of God happening in my life, I don't really have to say anything to get you to come to me. You're going to come to me because you see the signs and wonders happening. True? He said we're made that way. You say, well, listen, that means something always good's got to be happening. No, no. Do you realize that in the midst of dilemma, if you have something that is unusual, unordinary, that only God can give you, like peace, and somebody sees, hey, financially, we see this happen to them. Materialistically, this is gone, but yet I see them and it doesn't make sense because they have peace. Guess what? That is a wonder that people are attracted to because that person wants to have that. So wonders come all kind of different ways. I know in Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, the greatest sermon that you ever hear preached, he spoke about Jesus and he said, "You men of Israel, hear the words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." Do you know that Jesus authenticates God? And God authenticates Jesus. When God does a wonder in a person's life, then that person's message is authenticated by God. Does that make sense to you? Peter described Jesus as the man sent from God, but then he was able to refer to the signs and wonders to say, hey, by the way, this authenticates Jesus. Well, let me ask you something, something I had to ask myself. Would people know that I'm authenticated? Would they know? Outside of me just telling them, oh, I'm truly a believer. Yes, I've got it. Would they know? Would they see extraordinary things happening? Would they see the hand of God on me? Would they know? You see, it's important because God's doing these wonders not just for the person to get the blessing, but for those watching him to get the blessing. This church that started in Jerusalem after Peter preached this message and 3,000 people got saved, if you were to ever read in the passage of Scripture the description of this church and get to verse 43 of that same chapter of Acts, it says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done." That means he actually gave those people the ability to do signs and wonders, and also to have signs and wonders done in their life that others could see. And at the end of that, it says, "And many were added to the church, such as should be saved." It means as those wonders were happening, God was working. In the Old Testament, God gave these wonders to be able to show his power and bring people to him. But I want to tell you that the greatest wonder that could ever happen, well, it's described in the book of Hebrews, and it basically gives us this kind of setup. It's in Hebrews 2, and the writer of Hebrews gives us a logical statement. He says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which is first began to be spoken of the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him, God also bearing witness with them, both with signs and wonders and with various miracles or divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will." You know what he's saying? He's saying, if God did these miracles in the Old Testament to bring people to him and expected them to follow the law, then us in this day after Jesus died for us, how are we going to escape the judgment of God if we neglect this salvation, this great miracle that Jesus did? What do you mean the miracle? The greatest wonder that ever happened in your life. It should be the wonder. What is it? This is the wonder that somebody like us, we know ourselves, we've sinned. None of us are worthy, right? But God made himself in the form of a man. Came to this earth through a virgin that ended up being the Son of God. We call him Jesus. Can't explain that, right? Lived a sinless life. Can't explain that. Loved you and me enough to sacrifice himself on a cross so that God could take that blood covenant and say, "I forgive Mike Schoaf of his sins if he is truly repentant and I will bring him into fellowship with me on this earth because I want to show my glory through him. I want him to be able to experience my wonders. I want those around him. I want his family. I want his friends. I want his classmates when he's young. I want his teammates. I want his work, the people he works around. I want them to see my wonders on him because that's what's going to bring them to me. Why would God do that for me? I can't explain it. It's the greatest wonder that ever happened. And that's the wonder that I need to bear witness of. And then if I'm bearing witness of that wonder and I'm being obedient to the word, guess what's going to keep happening? Those God things are going to keep happening in your life. You say, well, you're acting like they happen all the time. I'm speaking more in reference to the great amount of time where they weren't happening in my life because I wasn't living the way I was supposed to. But now I can see how it's supposed to work. I don't judge you. If you don't judge me, I'm trying to give you the word of God straight so that you can see these things happen in your life. The prosperity gospel, absolutely not. The wonders of God which lead people to him. You say, what do you mean which lead people to him? Let me tell you, this is amazing. Jesus gives a message throughout the New Testament that God would authenticate his message by showing people these amazing wonders. You as a child of God, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you know that every day, not that you're a Bible character, every day he sends you out into your classrooms, into your workplaces, into your families, into your neighbor groups, into your community. He sends you out wherever you are to be laborers for him of the harvest. And here's what he gives you. He authenticates you as a true child of his, a laborer of his, by letting wonders happen in your life. Amen. Now, if you go back to saying, what are the recent wonders in my life? This would be an area of concern. Because realize, our job is to go out and be able to bring others to him, right? Jesus said in John 10, verse 37 and 38, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in him. Jesus is saying, look at what God's doing in my life. And that way you'll know I'm in God and he's in me. You know what I'm saying today? You can make that same statement. We've got to be able to make it. Because we accept the sonship of God when we accept Jesus Christ as our brother, as our Savior, right? I want to close by sharing the way this is supposed to work. And maybe answer the question you might have in your mind. So are the wonders of God, the wonders that God does in our lives, are they just for our own benefit? I want you to see this. I want you to understand the wonders that God does in our life. Yes, they help us. But they're not just for our benefit. In Luke chapter 9, God sent his disciples, those 12 out. And he told them to go out and he was going to give them this power, this authority over the devil, over the things of the devil. They were going to be able to heal the crippled. They were going to be able to do all these different things, unexplainable things through God's power. And do you know that they were able to go out and many people, they came back rejoicing, talking about the things, but many people came to the knowledge of God by that. And then in Luke chapter 10, he sent out 70 just regular believers, didn't he? See, Jesus was going on a missionary journey in his own hometown and some other places, and he sent these 70 people out. Are you listening? Chapter 10, Luke, he sent these 70 people out to say, go to the towns I'm going to go to, but I don't want you to go in your own power. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to empower you to go there. I'm going to let them see me in you. I'm going to let them see some wonders that they can't explain. And when you get to Luke chapter 10 and read verse 1 through 24, I encourage you to do that. And you get to verse 19, you read this statement. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This power to do wonders was given so that they could be laborers of the harvest, because this whole chapter is about being a laborer of the harvest. Jesus starts by telling these disciples, "Therefore said he unto them," verse 2, "the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Here's the statement I want to make to you today from God's word. The wonders that God allowed these laborers to experience and show to others was not to demonstrate their power. It was to demonstrate the power of God. If you are truly a laborer of God's harvest, you will experience his wonders in your life. Why will you experience them? Because he owes them to you? No, because he's trying to get the people that he's orchestrated and put around you to see him in you. Amen. So what's the other side of this? If you're not being obedient to him, if you're not walking in his way, if you're being inconsistent, if you're not using your today to sanctify yourself so that tomorrow you can see the wonders of God, then not only are you not going to see the wonders, those people in your lives, your husbands, your wives, your children, your family, your workplace, your classmates, your teammates, everybody that God gave a chance to see his wonders through you are not going to see them. That's the harvest. We're just a laborer. And of course, these people's minds were blown. We see when they came back in and talked to him, the laborers, verse 17, they testified that these wonders happened by doing them through the name of the Lord. Turn to Luke 10. I want to close with this. I want you to see something. Verse 17, the 70 returned after they went out. And listen how they returned again with joy. When's the last time you had real joy? If you're a laborer of the harvest and you're watching God do these wonders in your life, you're going to have real joy. Does that mean you're going to be happy all the time? No, there's a difference between happiness and joy. It says they returned saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." You realize when you become a child of God and you accept Jesus as your Savior, every day you go out, you represent his name. Whoever you're standing in front of, whatever you're doing in front of them, you're representing Jesus. You're either representing him in a good way or a bad way. But the wonders of God are not going to happen in your life if you're not representing him in the way you need to. That's why Joshua said, "Sanctify yourselves today so that you can see his wonders tomorrow." Is it all coming together? Do you realize you could stay a month in the bad place of not doing today and then not seeing tomorrow? You could stay a year. You could stay 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You could spend 50 years of your Christian life eligible for the blessings. God orchestrating your life, putting people around you to see his wonder so they could come to him. But you never use that day so that you can see the wonders of God tomorrow. It's amazing when you think about it that way. But I love what Jesus told them when he answered them in verse 20. In verse 20 of Luke 10, I do want to close with this scripture so that you can understand. They were rejoicing because he had given them power over the enemy. And Jesus said, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you." He's saying, yes, I did a wonder in your life, and I know you're happy about that. Listen, he said, "But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." He said, rejoice because the greatest wonder that could ever be done, your soul is saved from hell. You have the chance to have fellowship with me every day. That's the greatest wonder. Rejoice in that. If people don't see that, they're never going to see the other stuff. If we're not working for the harvest the way that he tells us to, then we're not going to see the amazing wonders happen in our life. If we're not obedient to his word and sanctified, set apart for his works, we're not going to see his wonders. And this may have grabbed you today in a bad place in your life. You might want to walk out of here and say, "Hey, listen, I haven't been the Christian I need to be." Right now, I've got some things in my life, and I know I haven't got myself set apart to God. I've got some things going on that nobody knows about, but I know they're going on. You may find yourself today in the middle of a great dilemma, and you say, hey, listen, Pastor, not only am I not living in the wonder of God, I am in a mess right now. Well, can I give you a little history lesson? Just about every wonder that you see in the Bible comes to somebody that was in a mess that turned to God for help. Every single one. You know why? That's when we're humble. That's when we're receptive. That's when we need something to happen in our lives that we just can't explain. You don't understand. It's just so bad right now. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to fix it. And God steps in and says, sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart to me. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, when it sounds so big and it seems so heavy and you can't figure it out, and I will do a wonder in your life. I want to end by asking you the same thing that I asked you to begin with, because you need to be able to answer this. If you were to ask someone following Joshua, have you seen the wonders of God? They would be able to say, listen. See, you knew we had to fill in the story. Joshua told us to go sanctify ourselves. Said God said, go and set yourself apart to him. Go and make sure your heart's clean. Go and make sure you're right with God, because tomorrow we're going to see the wonders of God. And here's what happened. We drew near to the presence of God. We used to call it the Ark of the Covenant. It was what represented the presence of God. And do you realize we followed behind the presence of God so close? And when the priests carrying that Ark of the Covenant in Joshua chapter 3, when they touched the water, then the water stopped. And they walked through, the Bible says, on dry ground. And they saw the wonders of God. And that was the day they saw them, was tomorrow of the day before when they had to do something. You see, God wants to show you his wonders this day or tomorrow. But you have to make sure you've taken care of it. Your part. What's your part? Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow you shall see the wonders of God. Here's the problem. We're not getting to our tomorrow. And here's what I would have to say. No pun intended. No wonder. No wonder. Just like the children told you this morning. Haven't done what I need to do, no wonder. No wonders are going to be done. No God things. You're not going to see them happen. Why? God wouldn't do them. He wouldn't reward. He wouldn't let us see that kind of thing unless we got to a point of saying, God, I want to humble myself. I need help. Forgive me. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to set myself apart. And not just words, not lip service, heart service. Are you seeing the wonders of God happen in your life? And maybe the words of the scripture today can help you understand how you can. Because the question I would leave you with is, do you want to? If you want to see them, you should have no doubt on how to be able to see them. How long is your tomorrow going to be away from you? Will it be 20 years before you experience your tomorrow? When will you decide? When will I decide? A sermon is a conversation. It's my job to speak the conversation of God through his word to let it speak to you. The Holy Spirit inspired the words. God did all the actions. As a pastor who is committed to speak on behalf of God, I have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit works in me to be able to discern the scripture that the Holy Spirit wrote. Then it's delivered to you. If you're in this congregation or listening today and you don't have the Holy Spirit living within inside of you, then the greatest wonder can be right around the corner for you. But you're going to have to submit yourself to God and fall in front of Him and say, I am lost. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know that God did this for me. Listen, the greatest wonder in the world will happen in your life today. If you pray that prayer and you mean it, and you reach out to God, you will see the wonders of God happen on your tomorrow, but your tomorrow will be today. And if you've done that, but you feel like you're in this state of dilemma day after day and you're not seeing any God things in your life, then what I would do is I would think back to my yesterday. And I would say, does my yesterday, does it open the door for God's wonders to happen to me today? Only you're going to know that. Today I'm asking you to look at yourself. Not just for yourself. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel, so God wants to give you all these things. Listen, God wants to touch somebody beside of you that's watching His wonders in you. And as long as they can explain everything happening, or you can explain, they're not going to see God. He's sitting on ready, willing to blow their mind. The only thing holding Him up a lot of times is us. Father God, I love You. Praise You and I thank You. I thank You, Lord, for showing us this through Your word. Lord, just the fact that You are willing to let these wonders happen in our life, these unexplainable things that we can give You credit for and we can't even take credit for, just that You're willing to love us enough to do that, Lord, I just praise You. The fact that You're willing to save anyone who sinned against You, if they cry out to You and ask for that forgiveness and submit themselves to You, I praise You for that, these wonders. And I praise You, God, for opening the door of blessing and being ready to bless us. But, Lord, we need help. We need help today to see ourselves. I pray, God, that You would show us ourselves today, everybody listening under the sound, Lord, right now, that they would be able to see themselves as You've shown me myself and knew, Lord, where I was lacking. I pray, God, today that if there's someone listening that's lost, they're not sure of their salvation, they've believed in You, but they've never accepted Jesus as their Savior. Lord, show them themselves today, Lord, so that they can receive this gift of salvation. And for Your children today, Lord, those ones that have been saved, but Lord, we got busy after we were saved. We got distracted, and then God, You know how You created us. You know that we think we do it ourselves unless we see something we can't explain. We fail to sanctify ourselves. We've slipped. I pray, God, that You show us ourselves today. I pray, Lord, today as repentant prayers go up everywhere over this place and lives are rededicated to You, I pray, God, that You would open Your wonders upon us, not just for us to see Your wonders, but for those around us that You gave us to minister to. Labor, Lord, for those in the harvest that we're supposed to bring to You, let them see the wonders You're going to do in our lives. But I pray, God, first of all, I pray, God, for Your children to come back to You. In Jesus' name, amen.